I'm Frank Vaughn. It's October 6, 2024, and I want to talk to you today about the importance of the Saskatchewan election and a blind spot that I perceive in the Saskatchewan electorate. We have two very important elections coming up in October here in Canada. One is out of left field, not quite a total surprise to me, but probably a total surprise to the country, that John Rustad looks like he's going to form a majority government in BC and absolutely change the politics, not just of BC, but the entire western part of this country at a time when the politics of the western part of the country needs to be enhanced and amplified and carried forward even more aggressively. I've highlighted in a previous video how I believe the Saskatchewan Party has done a good job of putting up opposition to Ottawa, in spite of the fact that Ottawa has done everything they can to interfere in local Saskatchewan politics, meaning provincial politics, from withholding health funding to trying to dictate how things are done here. The blind spot that I perceive is the apathy and some of the anger that is put on the Saskatchewan Party. Now, I'm only going to tell you my perspective. I spent 2.5 years knowing that all hope was lost, from my interpretation, in Ontario and the center of this country. And I looked all over and I said to myself, where am I going to take my young, at the time, three-year-old and my newborn baby? Where am I going to take them? Where am I going to raise them? Where am I going to plant my flag and where am I going to die for the second half of my life? Because any move I make out of the province of my birth is going to be permanent. And what place most closely resembles my internal mechanisms? What place seems to have the most common sense? What place seems to have a culture that isn't drowning in the mass immigration and the consequences, isn't drowning in the gender-bending nonsense that they're teaching in our schools to our children, a place where they're not trying to hide from parents what the school system is doing, a place where resistance isn't futile? And I looked all over this country. I looked at places that were in provinces that were already down the leftist rabbit hole, looking for isolated little boroughs where I could just have a semblance of peace for 5 to 10 years, because you have to remember that during COVID, Doug Ford said that they were considering going door to door to get needles and arms. And that was one of the most frightening things I've ever heard in my entire life. It forced me to do some calculations and some thinking in my head and came to some very unpleasant conclusions, and I knew that I had to get out. And so I cast my eyes all over this nation and I said to myself, what's the best bet? Jay Kenney was a disaster. BC was a disaster. Before C-19 came along, the government of New Brunswick had wanted to pass just a general vaccine mandate that you had to get every single pharmaceutical drug the government and the companies they represent decided to put in your body, and it only 3 Green Party abstentions saved New Brunswick from that mandate before C-19 and the long protracted legal battle that probably would have triggered for charter rights. Now, I no longer, in the wake of C-19, believe the charter will protect you when the government comes along and mandates anything from medical experimentation, a failed medical experiment, to who knows what's next. If they can put something in your body, they can put anything in your body. And you just let your mind wander on that. Now, bringing this back to Saskatchewan and the blind spot, the one thing that I bring with me, or that I brought with me for the last 2.5 years to this province, is the experience of growing up and living somewhere else and watching the decline and fall of that place as it descends further and further into leftist madness. Doug Ford is not a conservative. The Progressive Conservative Party in Ontario is a leftist outfit. There is no alternative, and there's no real alternative being built that's going to gain mass popularity, because the culture and the society are fully down the rabbit hole. And I don't know where and when they can come back. BC has shown that there can be a reaction and it can be quite strong. But you have to remember that the BC Conservative Party already had they were already there. They just needed reform. They needed new ideas. They needed a fresh budget. They needed a fresh way forward. And look at what's happened. The people of BC have rallied around it, and it looks like they're going to form a government. In the wake of the lifting of mandates in Ontario, which were very slow to be lifted, I recall the masking mandate when it was lifted. Just before I moved, I went to a store to try and buy some pants. Because at the time, like I've already indicated, I put on a lot of weight during COVID, and nothing I had fit anymore. And I thought, you know, I should probably have a decent set of jeans to go across the country in rather than these track pants that I'm forced to wear because nothing fits anymore. And so I went to Walmart because I needed something quick and I just didn't have time to think about how to make the purchase better. And I walk in and 75% of that store was still masked, still paranoid, and were walking around me like I was a disease for not having a mask on. And I recall very vividly, and I will probably remember until the day I die, looking out over the tops of the crowd because I'm a tall man and I can see over everybody's head. And I saw this other tall gentleman, probably 200 feet away from me, and our eyes met in the crowd, and he did not have a mask on. And we shared a moment where we both just shook our heads in wonder at the state of paranoia that existed in the people, in the culture, that still exists to this day to some degree. It took forever for people to recover, and a lot of people will never recover. They're so weak-minded that C-19 completely broke their mind, and that is why they can't apologize to their betters who had a better grasp of the situation in early 2022. Now, when I came here, first off, when it looked like we were moving, I was worried I was even going to be able to travel through Manitoba because Manitoba was insane under the Progressive Conservative Party. Part of the reason they lost, and now they have an abusive bully for a premier. Manitoba, you're going to figure it out. You're already starting to figure it out. You look at what happened with the NDP MLA, who broke rank and actually said that Wob is nothing but a bully. You're all going to learn that anybody, any psychopath, any sociopath, any bad person can smile. One of the things I like about Scott Moe is he doesn't have a very good fake smile. When he poses for pictures, he looks like he doesn't know why he's there. And I love that. It's far more genuine than Justin Trudeau, who smiles very well. David Eby, who smiles very well. Aaron O'Toole had a good fat cheek smile. Don't vote for smiles, even though they want you to. Don't vote. I remember a talking point that was prominent over the last couple of weeks about David Eby and how he knows how to order at a local restaurant. These are not things to vote for, people. At any rate, I was worried about getting through Manitoba, but luckily that wasn't a problem. Things started lifting almost miraculously as I was moving along. One of the very real reasons I picked Saskatchewan is because, as bad as it was here, and the memory of the people who lived here, and those who are skeptical, and those who are rightly angry with what went on during that time, it was not as bad or as thoroughly enforced here, and it wasn't as culturally strong here as it was everywhere else. And that's a perspective I bring. And I am not in any way trying to dissuade anybody from being frustrated and angry, but I need to remind people that the pressure that came down on every government, not just at the national level, but at the state or the provincial or whatever subdivision and unit in any country that you consider, the pressure came from all directions. In Saskatchewan, the pressure was coming from the federal government. The pressure was coming from the UN. The pressure was coming from people who were programmed and paranoid that this respiratory infection was going to kill everybody in spite of the evidence of their eyes. To this day, there are people even in this province who talk about bringing back mandatory masking. And there are people who actually gather together in this country wearing their masks loud and proud as if they're doing something, as if they can't see that society is still functioning and people aren't dropping dead everywhere. It's over, but you wouldn't know it. The pressure also came from the NDP under Miley. And I think it's a really good idea to remind people. This is tweets from Miley in 2021, December, right around the time the decision was about to be made that we were going to move. Saskatchewan has the lowest vaccination rates in Canada, one of the reasons I moved here. And Scott Moe is committed to keeping it that way. Since the approval of vaccines for kids, he's tweeted 24 times, and not one of these has been to encourage parents to get their kids aged 5 to 11 vaccinated. His education minister has refused to encourage vaccination. Instead, he stirred up vaccine hesitancy and actively interfered with school divisions that have tried to keep kids safe. Now, at this time, AZ was still on the market, J&J was still on the market, and we now know that those treatments that were recommended for children may have led to the worst mistake you could have ever made for your child. We know that now. The NDP wanted to take that away. They wanted more mandates. They wanted more enforcement. And they wanted it in your kids. Now we know. It's 2024. The vast majority, we're talking 95% plus of parents, know not to stick this junk in their children's arms. The lowest, even though parents might have done it to themselves to preserve their income streams, to do what they had to do to get by in society, they knew instinctively, even at the time, not to do this to their children, their young children. And that was a problem for Miley. He wanted to mandate it. He wanted more enforcement. Now, as far as what went on here, the division that was sown, the things that actually people experienced, the very real experiences, which I am not trying to diminish, what I can tell you is that I know from talking to locals and people that many churches remained open without masking. Many businesses still welcomed their patrons. Enforcement was slack, even at the worst of times, even at the times when the SAS party mandated for its own caucus that they all get vaccinated. And Nadine Wilson, who went on to found the SAS United Party, misrepresented her vaccine status and she got caught and resigned. And then went on to form the party because she had very real differences of opinion with the SAS party. I don't think people give enough credit to the zeitgeist and how powerful it was. Now, I was dialed in December of 2019 to what was happening. And by the time April, May rolled around in 2019, I'd figured out the game. I'd figured out that we weren't all going to die and the real danger was going to come from the government. When they flipped their script and they told you that everything that they had previously said was dangerous was now mandated and you had to do it. And one of the warnings that I issued through all of my work was any medical product that they tried to foist on you without years of clinical trials, anything that bypassed proper procedure, you should avoid like the plague. And those who listened, don't regret it. I was talking to a dear friend of mine yesterday. And he's going through something right now. And his mind jumps right to the fact that he took one dose. He's got a family member who's going through something else, and she's taken several doses. Regret. And I was anonymously sharing that story with another acquaintance who highlighted how many people in their life are suffering right now. And I know people personally in my life who have taken their doses and are now severely immunocompromised. And if you look at my last video, the science is bearing it out. The more of the medical treatment you take, the more immunocompromised you are in perpetuity. We now know that it was harmful. We know that the things that Miley pushed, the more that he wanted, was the exact wrong direction. And though Mo and his government played along to a degree that was less than every other place in this country, put up resistance to going the distance and took massive political heat from it at the time, even from the public who thought he was making a mistake. Even though they did things that upset people, they did less of them than everywhere else. And they were the first to lift the mandates. They were the first and maybe the only government in this country that actually listened to the other side in an official capacity. For hours, were given a presentation as to how dangerous lockdowns were, the mistake of the medical experiment. They listened. And then they went on to lift the mandates. And if you didn't get a direct, I'm sorry, you certainly got a, we're not doing this again. And then after the fact, after the lifting, we got the Saskatchewan Revenue Act. We got the Saskatchewan Firearms Act, which are working to protect you from the virtual communism of the federal government, which is pushing us and promoting provincial autonomy. The election in Saskatchewan right now is a competition, it seems, between who's going to cut taxes and who's going to spend more and who's going to build things. But underlying that is the most important thing, which is Saskatchewan taking back its power of tax collection, taking back its power to make decisions on how it generates power and resources, taking back its power over its economy, and resisting federal encroachment. If you, in apathy, don't show up at the voting booth, or worse yet, you decide to cast an X beside the NDP, that all goes out the window. You will have the Trudeau-Singh government here in Saskatchewan. They will accelerate it. They will bring people in. They will populate your cities over the next 4 years. And the influence that you have and the direction that this province should be moving will go away. And I would argue it might be impossible to bring it back. This is the wrong time to change the channel. There's a lot of fresh blood coming into the Sask Party, and I tell you, if they win the election and they hang on to power, I may join it myself and get involved to try and influence change from within, because that is where the avenue is. Now, I am not sitting here and trying to condemn Sask United or anything else. I perceive a real danger to the long-term prospects of this province by allowing the Socialists and the NDP and their partners in Ottawa a direct line on your lives. It would be a grave mistake of the highest order, regardless of your frustrations during the C-19 era, which are very real. Again, I just want to emphasize, I'm not trying to dissuade that. But let's not take out our eye because of some urge for vengeance or retribution. Saskatchewan's in an enviable spot. The changes that are happening on this side of the country will empower Saskatchewan to go further. We have been the tip of the spear when it comes to fighting and objecting to the federal government's overstretch. Saskatchewan has punched so far above its population and its weight, and it gets very little notice. Because if it was amplified, it might encourage other places to go along the same path. Rustad winning in BC empowers us monumentally. Whether it's the revolt on carbon tax or the policies that I've talked about already, these are all steps in the right direction. The Saskatchewan Marshal Service. We have a problem with the courts and with the federal government and their soft on crime policies. They reward criminals and they penalize victims. We need self-defense laws, very strong ones. And there have been things that have happened in Saskatchewan that have set legal precedent that at least if you don't have a right to self-defense, you do have a precedent that you can lean on. Because people deserve to be secure in their homes and their property. And we need one of the steps in that direction is an enhanced focus on local policing, provincially responsible policing. There's a big problem in this province. It will not be solved by the RCMP and the federal courts. We got to do it here. And we're moving in the right direction. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of places where we, as a province, are moving in the right direction. And we will only be enhanced and empowered by the governments of our neighbors, not to the Manitoba side, but to the other side as things change. Back to Mr. Miley. Yesterday I talked with a SAS parent who put it best. They're asking me to make a risk assessment for my family. He's saying that the Mo government allowing you to make a decision for your family is a negative. The headline is, difficult to trust Mo after end of proof of vaccination and masking mandates. This is the stuff that brought me here, because Mo did this. Miley would have had you maybe still in masks, still required to show proof of vaccination. They wanted more, not less. They said the government didn't go far enough in terms of education and schooling. Saskatchewan kept their schools open. Everybody else locked everybody out. And a year was lost. And we can measure it statistically. We can measure it statistically, the damage masking and these lockouts and lockdowns did to our children. We have science. We have the papers. I read them. Other people enjoy their lives and go golfing. I sit here and read boring research papers because they tell me the truth of the result of the policy that I escaped. The NDP under Beck is the same NDP under Miley. They are a vehicle for all the things that are wrong in this country. Turnout needs to be greater than the last Saskatchewan election. Turnout has been going down and down and down, and I don't know if this is because people are satisfied with the way governance is or because they're frustrated. The last election was before. It was not before. This is how they got mail-in voting. But it was before the mandates. It was before the medical experiment really got going. And turnout was abysmal. And maybe that was just because of the pandemic. It was the lowest it had ever been in this province's history. The danger is that people are going to stay home because they're frustrated with the SAS party. And I'm telling you, I beg you to understand that my eyes have seen how it was done elsewhere. I've lived it. I've seen the decline and fall of Ontario. And I don't know how you ever bring it back. This place still has everything that I miss about the 1990s and the early aughties back east. Everything we've lost is still here. This is my home now. This is where my flag is planted. I don't believe in the Canada the federal government has created in the last 10 years. And I'm not sure. I have hope. I have hope that a CPC government will change the trajectory and bring some things back. But I don't think you can change. You can't restore to Toronto what's been lost. But we'll see. In the meantime, as we work to send the CPC back to Ottawa, we should be continuing, whether it's a red government or an orange government or a blue government in Ottawa, we need to continue on the path of greater and greater provincial autonomy in the western provinces and specifically right here in Saskatchewan. We have got to preserve what's here because it's precious. This culture does not exist anywhere but in the interior anymore. We're losing it. We're losing Canada. We're losing Western civilization. This is it. This is the front line. This is it. This is the last bastion of Western civilization, not just here in Saskatchewan, but around us on these great plains. That's why I'm here. I used to say in my previous video work, I don't know if anybody would remember, but the western provinces are the hill to die on. And I have no intention of dying on this hill except peaceably. Now is not the time to risk an NDP government.